Westchester's great community forum. Local and vocal, where many different voices are heard in the land every day and every night. 1460 WVOX.
1460
WVOX. We're back, everybody. Lou and Steve. And I'm told Tom Ralph's on the line. Tom?
Hello, Lou. How are you? Hello, Steve.
Hey, Tom.
Lou, I didn't catch the beginning, but I want to thank you because I know you had some kind words about me. That was very nice, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Tom.
Unfortunately, I had to drop Anna off somewhere, and I was had to talk with her. So anyway, I want to comment on the Orchard Beach situation.
Go ahead.
And if you recall, on Friday when I was with you, I had mentioned that basically this is a symptom. The symptom of a bigger problem. And the bigger problem is that we do not have a border that is secure at this point in time in our history. We did have a border that was secure under the Trump administration. And then when Biden and his gang came in, they decided they were going to turn the whole thing around. Now, that is the problem, and that's the problem that needs to be addressed, because we can't keep treating the symptom. How many millions of more people are we going to have to accommodate? We are 31 billion, or is it trillion? It's trillion. Trillion in debt. 31 trillion in debt, and we're going in the wrong direction. Every day that number grows. In fact, if you ever want to have some fun looking at something, download the U.S. debt clock and watch that thing ticker away for about 5 or 10 seconds, and you'll completely understand that we are getting more and more broke as time goes by. So here's what has to happen to change it, because the party in power right now, in particular, and also in New York State with the governor, with Kathy Hochul, with our state assembly, the people in power are okay with this. They're fine with this. This is something that they're actually happy about.
Well, let me ask you, Tom. Tom, are you getting some feedback from local politicos? Have you heard anything, seen anything?
Well, I mean, the people, by and large, the people that I talk with are all of the same mindset.
No, I'm talking about the public officials in your town.
No, I don't have any. I mean, where? Tell them.
Wherever.
No. Well, I mean, no. And if I did, I'd be talking to basically people in the Democratic Party. I've had an ongoing dialogue back and forth with Tom Abenanti, who actually is very open to approach and talk with. And when he communicates with me, I believe he's actually being upfront and honest. Even though it's odd that he would be on a bill that would be basically the bill that it created the situation in New York State where criminals basically get put back out on the street moments after they commit a crime. He was the one that co-authored that horrible bill back in 2018, 2019, for bail reform.
And don't forget for a second, don't forget either that the Assembly Democrats are ready to move forward the end of sovereign immunity for police, or the end of adjusting sovereign immunity, you know, which protects police from most of their normal acts. And I think it's a good law. That's in committee right now, Tom. After the election, when the pressure's over, I hear it's going to pass.
And, you know, here's another thing. I was behind City Hall in New Rochelle today, the street directly behind City Hall from North Avenue. And as I was approaching the stop sign and slowing down, I was struck by the fact that I was staring at four deer on the front lawn of a private home. And I'm saying to myself, you know, with all the construction that's going on, the destruction of green space and forest land, these poor deer have nowhere to go. And it made me think about something else. You recall, it wasn't that long ago, the issue has kind of gotten swept under the carpet. But what I'm referring to is the, you know, where they want to take single-family properties and allow construction within inches of the property line of auxiliary housing to create more housing for people, right?
Yep. Totally wrong. That's the case in many cities, many progressive cities today.
Yes. Right. Now, isn't this contrary to, I mean, if you have to, you know, more densely populated locations requiring heat and water and sewer, aren't we doing more damage to our environment? I thought the Democratic Party was all about you know, open space, you know, and the environment. But everything they do is geared towards the opposite.
It's a good point to make.
Yeah, you know what? Here's a better point. And I look at the Sheldrake River. That's all urban sprawling. That's what feeds into that Sheldrake. And you remember what happened, Tom, in Mamaroneck there a couple of years ago with that storm. Half of Mamaroneck Avenue was underwater. So all this urban sprawling and all this building or whatever like that,
absolutely,
these buildings is killing Lower Westchester County.
And if you want to see that condition writ large, go to Lower New Rochelle where, 20 to 30,000 apartments going up? What about the asphalt jungle that we've created there? Some of those were formerly green spaces or even open lots, which might have been preserved for recreation. Where's the new recreation areas for all these apartment buildings?
All right, Tom. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's get to Diane. Diane, you there? We lost Diane. All right, okay, we got Vince next.
Okay, just before we get on, Luke, I think Tom makes some good points, but I'd like to see him and his community, his real estate community. I know he's a professional in the business. I'd like to hear from them, Lou. These are brokers who are out to make a buck, aren't we all? But let's face it, nobody knows better the conditions of their towns and cities and villages than the real estate industry. Who touts city public schools, Lou, in New Rochelle, and urges that budgets be supported? Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't, Lou. But we have to hear from the business community that these practices of local governments, and of course originate with the federal government, these actions are destroying communities that exist today.
All right, we got Vince on the line. Vince, you there?
Yeah, I am. Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm enjoying the show.
Thanks, Vince.
Just a couple of comments. We all know what the problems are. We've seen them, and nothing wrong with re-identifying them. The dilemma, of course, is trying to actualize change. And the reason nothing changes is because the Democrats, like Mr. Otis and others who are nice, friendly people, they go along with this Democratic insanity for two reasons. Number one, there's no real pushback to stop them. And number two, they know that if they dare stick their head out and disagree with the woke world, they'll get primaries. And then they'll be out of a job,
Vince,
like Mr.
Vince, let me assure you, though, those primaries are coming anyway. They don't need provocation. But you're right. It's true. It's a foundational
Take a look at Latimer. There was talk of that lady running against him. But he's done a good job of of putting in place a lot of the woke policies that they want. He's made Westchester a sanctuary county. And a lot of the other woke stuff that they like. So they let him stay there. But if you dare step out of line or voice anything that does not strictly adhere to the woke world, you're going to have a problem. So in the meantime, what do we do? Nothing wrong with talking about it like we've been doing and identifying these issues. But the simple fact of the matter is when you only have one or two people who show up at a meeting and voice concern or objection, it's easy to blow them off. Here in New Rochelle, when our superintendent, Ms. Fahu, a white lady, had the nerve to sue the chancellor of the city of New York for discrimination, she was told she's out of line, and you had people like Minister McLean and I think Yadiro Ramos Herbert and these other geniuses form what was called the collective, and they showed up. 10, 12, 15 of them at school board meetings and screamed and yelled.
That's crazy.
But, Vince, let me ask you something.
They constantly call the board members.
Vince, let me give you a suggestion. Remember the primaries just concluded in the Democrat Party where they chose a candidate? They considered candidates other than Congressman Bowman, who's the incumbent. There was one of them who ran, and he called himself a common-sense Democrat. Lou, maybe you recall it also. You know what? I liked some of the things he was saying. He seemed like he was the centrist section of the Democrat Party. Well, he lost the primary. What happens? Does he skulk away? Why don't we hear from these so-called common-sense Democrats? And while we're at it, why don't we hear from local Republicans?
Well, I don't know if Mr. Gashi was really a common-sense Democrat. If you believe in aborting a child in the ninth month who's perfectly healthy, I don't care what you say about yourself. You're a lunatic.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. So ask every Democrat running for office whether they think that law's good.
Very passionate, Vince.
All right, Vince.
Hey.
Thank you for the phone call, Vince.
Strong points.
We'll be right back, and I'll call Charlie on the line. All right, we're back, everybody. 914-636-0110. Sorry about all the technical difficulties tonight, everybody. But I'm told Charlie's on the line. Charlie?
Hey, how are you, Lou?
Hey, Charlie. I'm glad you called, Charlie, because I started this with Charlie 23 years ago.
And well, Lou, you got to let me talk, Lou. You got to let me talk.
Okay.
People talk about people being replaced. Well, we were replaced out of the West End. All right. And, you know, we had people like Tim Idoni and Mayor Bramson talking about how we're racist and xenophobic and that. And now I'm seeing them actually act like in those realistic ways. We were not racist or xenophobic, but these people now that are putting up a fight against change, I mean, they don't want diversity. They don't want diversity. And Nita Lowey said diversity is our strength. And they're resisting this. But I'll tell you, and this is what I said 25 years ago. The city has a lot of land up in the North End. The Dog Run and places like the...
That's Ward Acres, of course.
The tennis court. Yeah, you know something? Mayor Bramson and his pal Idoni, they can contact HUD and ask them for mobile homes. What are you going to do? You're going to put people on a beach with tents? No.
Right.
Give them mobile homes up there in the tennis courts, up there in Ward Acres.
No, thank you.
And they could stay there.
Right.
They can stay there until a permanent place in the North End can be found.
Why are you specifying the North End?
Because the North End lacks the diversity that the West End does.
I understand. That's your point. But think of another thing, too. In this time of environmental concern, right? In addition to rights of minorities and lower middle class, lower class, and immigrants, legal or illegal, we're putting them in the face of the next storm, aren't we? Orchard Beach, City Island?
Of course. And, you know, it's not just the North End. I mean, we can go to Bronxville. We can go to Crestwood, Scarsdale, Rye Brook.
Oh, it's a valid point. You're absolutely right.
Plenty of places around. Like I said, these guys can ask HUD. You know, housing, urban development, for mobile homes. That's just temporary until they find real homes and real jobs and get amnesty so they can vote.
You know what, Charlie? Here's what I seen what happened. You seen what happened. You moved away where you were born and raised on Fifth Street there. You know, you seen what happened over the years. It's, you know, when it first started happening, we were banging our heads against the wall to try to stop this. But everybody said, no. Yeah, no, it's you got to do this, you got to do that, or whatever. People are moving out like crazy. If you ever came back to New Rochelle, you wouldn't recognize anybody. I mean, I go up to West New Rochelle now. It's like I don't know nobody there no more.
Well, why should we have some sort of cultural apartheid by keeping people in the West End, and it looks one way, and, you know, it looks like 1970 in the North End.
Of course, and you know, one of the most popular phrases, you don't hear it lately, is the dividing line. Remember Eastchester Road?
They used to call it the Mason-Dixon line,
right.
Eastchester Road.
Yeah, the Tale of Two Cities. Well, that was an applause line years ago. You don't hear it from politicians anymore because, as you're proving, it's getting truer than ever, and who's doing anything about it?
Well, these people, like I said, it's just like Martha's Vineyard. It seems to me very veiled, but not so veiled, and it's more in your face racism and xenophobic.
You're absolutely right.
Attitudes. It really is.
That's the source of it. And let's face it, I try not to watch news anymore, but you can't miss it. There is some protest in the Bronx, and to the credit of the politicians there, or at least community activists, they're raising their voices about it. It's their backyard. And I hope Westchester learns a lesson from them.
Well, what we, what Lou and I and the other people in the West End that we knew that had left, what we resented was the meteoric nosedive in the quality of life. I mean, cars, like the late Joe Cantry complained about, cars double and triple parked, horns blowing at 3 o'clock in the morning, loud music 24-7, people defecating and urinating in the street, you know, 24 people living in one room. That's what we protested.
Yes.
What these people now are protesting is race. And there's no doubt about it. It's just race. It's racial hatred.
But let me ask you this. What's an appropriate, calm, and constructive response? I get your point. It's a valid point. How do we respond either on the street or to the politicians who are, let's face it, in hiding?
Yeah, they're in hiding. And you know what? No matter what you say or do to them, they're not going to listen to you. They're not. They're not. So what I said about the mobile homes, I think, to myself personally, that's the best solution.
Yeah.
And you know something? It will bring diversity to people that lack it in their neighborhoods.
Point made.
All right, Charlie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you so much. All right, let's get to the next. Mike, are you there?
Hi, Lou. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
A couple of points. I sent you both a copy of the article about this whole thing with New York City, and I sent it up. When you check your messenger later,
okay.
You'll see I sent it to you.
All right. You know what, Mike? You live in Pelham there, and you see what's going on. I mean, it's a stone throw away from Orchards Beach there or whatever. And another thing I forgot to mention, I mentioned Pelham Bay and City Island. Pelham Parkway. That's going to be affected, too, because that's the thoroughfare that goes right into Orchard Beach.
Exactly. But remember one thing, guys. These people walk through South America, Central America. What is it to walk through time?
That's a very good point. Let's face it. These are, you might say, brave. You might say desperate people. Whatever it is, they're quite fearless. And the idea of walking along highways and grassy areas and gravelly road edges is nothing to them, as it would be for any people who come from deprived places. The question is, this a way to address their problems, even from a humanitarian standpoint?
Mike,
I say not.
Mike and Steve, here's another thing. I said it before, Mike. What about Home Depot? People are going to find out you go to Home Depot,
absolutely,
you can get jobs there, work there as day laborers. So you're going to have an influx of people coming up Post Road to Wayman Avenue to go to Home Depot to hang out there or whatever like that, looking for work or whatever. You know, this is, it's crazy.
You're doing it now.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's the present fact.
AOC is the congressperson from that district.
Yes.
She hasn't said a word.
But there is a choice. There's Ms. Fort, Tina Forte. She's the Republican conservative nominee. I urge you to find out about her. I don't know what her chances are. I don't know what her finances are. But follow up.
I do. And she's the one who spoke at the rally today because they showed her on the news.
Yes.
I didn't go down there because it was raining. But it was supposed to be Saturday, then it was supposed to be Sunday.
Well, you got a business to run.
All right, I'm told that we got 5 seconds. Mike, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for the call. I'll call you up later.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Nikki, thank you. I'm sorry about all the problems you had behind the glass. 1460 WD.